Let's turn to Jonah chapter 2, all right? Jonah's right before the book of Micah. It's one of those smaller books in the Bible. It's right after Obadiah, but that's not going to help you very much either. Obadiah's one page, one side of a page. But you'll get there eventually, all right? Some people say that trying to find some of these minor prophets is like trying to find Jonah after he got swallowed by the whale. So it is. They're all really sandwiched down in there, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's gold nuggets to find once you get there. So anyway, Jonah, we're going to look at chapter 2. Those of you who are not familiar with the story of Jonah, just basically to give you a brief, hey, good to see you all. Good to see you. Amen. That's great. That's Marianne's uncle and aunt, Thomas and Lynn. So I'm glad that they could join us. Do they have any sheets, Harrison? You got any sheets? Told you to hold on to them, pal. All right. Well, anyway. Well, next time hold them, okay?
Yes.
All right. It's all right. There we go. Okay. If you don't have something to write with, it's okay. You can fill out the blanks on your phone or on something to take notes with. The reason why I have given you this study guide, I'm trying to do things a little bit different. This is basically my whole outline to the sermon, it's something that you can take home and look over it. I want you to just, I'm not expecting you to, remember everything that's said, but I am trusting that if the Holy Spirit lays something on your heart while I'm preaching, I want you to be able to grab a hold of it and maybe just circle it on the sheet so that you can be reminded that the Holy Spirit spoke to you about this particular point, and then you can go back and you can study over it later rather than become distracted. If the Holy Spirit has you looking at something in particular, and he's really working on you, and it causes you to zone out of the rest of the message, well, there's another reason that you've got this little outline here. I've given you blanks so that you can... I do it for the kids, for one, but also at the same time, it kind of helps you to follow along. Don't worry, the blanks are going to be up here when they come up, okay? So it's not for any kind of quiz or anything, but it's to help you out, and it's for you to just think about what's being said. But I am starting a series in the morning called Lessons from the Pits, all right? And that's what it's called on the front of this sheet. And the reason why is because I'm going to be looking at the lessons that certain people in the Bible learned while they were in the pits. Well, of course, the first one that we're looking at is the pit of the belly of a whale from a man named Jonah. That's one of the reasons I got teared up while I was up here singing with Marianne and the boys, is because I was just thinking, Mike, you have been so unthankful for what God has given you. And I just, as I'm singing so much to thank him for, it just gripped me how much God has done for me and how little thanks I've been giving to him. And you're looking at a Jonah. I can preach firsthand not to do what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be doing if you go the way of Jonah. That's what this series is all about, all right? Let's go ahead and read chapter 2, all right? This is the prayer. By the way, before I get into that, I want to kind of give you the summary of Jonah. Jonah was asked by God to go to a city called Nineveh to preach to them that the judgment of God was getting ready to come upon them. Jonah, for whatever reason, did not like the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was known as a very barbaric type city, a ruthless city, a merciless city. No doubt certain people that Jonah knew were hurt by these people. These people were known to skin people alive and actually hang their skin out in front of the city, as well as behead them and pile up the heads outside of the city or put them on spikes. These people were vicious. They were cruel. It could be that Jonah didn't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole because he was scared that was going to happen to him. But for whatever reason, Jonah, the prophet of God, a man who was doing great things in the eyes of God, for some reason, in this particular case, Jonah said, I'm not going there. And as a matter of fact, he went 5,000 miles the opposite direction. I mean, he was going to get away. He was going to go as far away from the city of Nineveh as he possibly could. And we find in the Bible how that Jonah goes down, and he goes down, and he goes down. He went down to Joppa to get away from God. Then he goes down into the ship, the Bible says. And then later on, he goes down into the water, and then he goes down into the fish. I mean, Jonah went down, finally, till he hit rock bottom. And it was there in the pit that Jonah prays this very powerful prayer in chapter 2. And I want you to look at it, and then I want to share with you some things that may have caused this prayer to arise, may have brought Jonah to this place where he would pray such a thing. Look what it says, all right? Then Jonah, all right, here he is in the belly of the fish. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And what? He heard me. Praise God for that he still hears, even after we've strayed, even after we've gone down, we've gone down, we've gone down, we've gone down. It doesn't matter how dirty, how filthy we've become. He still hears me. He says, he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You ever made a decision where you thought things were going to turn out okay, but it turned out to be like hell? Of course, none of us know how horrible hell is, but in many of our, I've heard people say, my life has been a living hell, all right? I've heard it said like that, but some of you can relate to this. You say, how could God possibly ever use me after some of the decisions that I've made, make some of the choices that I've made? Well, we can find out that God is a God of second chances. He's ready to use you no matter how low you've gone, no matter how deep in the pit you've gone. In this particular case, Jonah was in the pit on his own. He got put into the pit because of his own fault. He got put into the pit because he was running from God. The rest of the men that we're going to look at, they got put into a pit because they were walking with God. But I want to start this series by looking at a man who wound up in a pit because he went against God. And by the way, God did prepare a fish, and God did allow it all to happen. There were men who experienced revival on a boat after they saw the mighty God of heaven calm the winds and the waves after they had cast Jonah, that disobedient prophet, out of the boat. Revival followed Jonah everywhere he went. Still, he continued to complain and gripe and groan. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we have this attitude of, I'll serve God as long as he gives me something. There is nothing more that God should give you other than delivering you out of hell, because he promised you that. He promised that. Without that promise, we deserve that. A lot of times we have revival meetings and we think that praying and asking God for hours to bless revival and getting everything organized and sacrificing our time to go to church, that should be the reason why God should come down and breathe on a church. But no, it's the reason why we get together for a revival is we say, oh God, in wrath, remember mercy. See? Jonah had this attitude of, I'm not going to go because I don't want to see these people that you want to see saved. I don't want to see them saved. But here in the bottom, he's not even thinking about the Ninevites right now. He's thinking about the mess he's gotten himself into. And he says in verse 3, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. It may be if I look back to God, that he might see me, that if I call him. You ever been in that place where you wondered, you haven't talked to somebody for years, and you think, if I call him, I wonder if they'll even talk to me. That was the attitude that Jonah had. But he said, I just can't not do it. I've got to call on the Lord. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. You know, a lot of pictures that I see of Jonah flannel graphs are of him sitting inside of this big, huge whale inside of a boat or something, kind of like Geppetto in Pinocchio with a big lantern, and he's sitting here writing the book of Jonah. No, you know what? If you know anything about being a mariner or working with aquatic animals, you know that when he was inside of that belly, there wasn't a lot of room inside of that belly. That belly is just a small part of that whale. I don't even know if it was a whale. All I know is that it was enough room to hold him inside. And it's quite possible that that's about all that animal could hold, because later on it throws him up. But as he's inside, I can imagine when he wanted to itch, he couldn't even lift his hand up to scratch. He could feel the seaweed wrapping around his head. And he said, I've got to get this stuff off my face. And he couldn't do it. He was in a mess. And then it says, it goes on to say in verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee and to thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Well, at least we're getting somewhere, right? I mean, he went up a little bit, then he got thrown up. All right? But he cried to the Lord, and the Lord gave him some rays of light. I'll tell you one thing. It must have been nasty. It must have been a horrible sight to see what this guy looked like after being in the belly of a fish for 3 days. You know, when it said, out of the belly of hell I cried, it could possibly be that the man died after 3 days. I mean, I'm wondering, you know, where did he get his oxygen? Things like that. And it could be that God rose him from the dead, because the Bible says that the sign that he was going to give them was nothing more than the sign of the prophet Jonas, who went down into the whale and came back after 3 days. It could be that the man just died and that God raised him up again. Who knows? But all I can say is that this man experienced some terrible things. But can you imagine, after being in that type of darkness, after being in that tightness for so long? How many of you are claustrophobic? You would probably die in there, okay? All right? After all that time in that darkness, can you imagine seeing the sun again? Oh, thank God. Oh, Lord. You know, he's got stuff just dripping off of him, you know. But yet he's praising God because God brought him up just a little bit. Now, the rest of the world at this point would have despised him. And it's very possible that when Jonah came walking into Nineveh, that he looked like some kind of a creature from the sea. He'd probably been bleached. It's possible that he had hardly any hair because of all the acid that had eaten up his body. Could be that he looked frightful when he came in and said, in 40 days, God's going to destroy Nineveh. And they're like, what? And so they're all listening. I mean, they're looking at a guy who, he's had some experience with the sea, and they worship the fish god. And they're listening. Have you ever wanted to know the will of God? You know, that's a question I have on that sheet. Have you ever just wished, have you ever just wished that he would talk to you with an audible voice? I have. I've always wished that God would just say, Mike, I want you to do this and this and this entire borough. I want to show you through the studies of these men how that you can truly experience the voice of God in a much more audible sound than hearing with your ears. God wants to talk. He's ready to talk. You know that sign that you see on the billboards? We need to talk, God. Hey, that's probably the truest one out of all of them. He's looking at his children and he's saying, I want to talk! And we're sitting here going, I don't understand why you don't want to talk. I don't understand why God won't show me what he wants. Well, I'm going to show you. The focus of the first message is the false assumption. That's the first thing that I want us to look at. The false assumption that God is not listening to you. This was a problem that Jonah had. He believed his way was the best, but it created more problems than he could ever begin to imagine. Before blaming God for not listening, it is important that we ask ourselves some of the things that Jonah was probably considering in the belly of the whale, which produced the beautiful prayer to God in this chapter. I'm not saying that he came up with this particular outline. I just know that God was dealing with me as I was looking through these things. And you need to ask yourself this question. Maybe he didn't ask these types of things. Maybe he did. I don't know. But I can tell you this. If you ask yourself this question and you are honest with yourself, you'll experience personal revival. First of all, do I hear with devotion? How many of you have ever had a mom or a dad, and I've used this illustration before, but they said, did you hear me? And you go, yes, ma'am. And they go, no, no, no. Did you hear me? You ever had a mom or a dad do that to you? They're saying, I want to know if you're listening. I've often said that to my boys. I've said, yeah, I know you heard me, but were you listening? Did you know that in the Hebrew, when you see the word hear, all right, there's the light is on the right-hand side walking in. Sorry about that. When you see the word hear in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, that word for hear fits in with all the words that say hear in your King James Bible, but also the word obey. You see, with God, it's synonymous. If you're going to hear me, then I'm also expecting you to obey. And see, that's the problem that we have when we read our Bibles. We read our Bibles piously and we say, I've done my Bible reading today, but you can't remember anything that you've gotten out of it. You're not hearing with devotion. It's important that we do. How well, are you listening? Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We're going to look at that verse tonight. That's going to be our text for tonight. The Lord has put Elisha on hold for a little bit. I'm not done with Elisha, but God has said, I don't want Elisha right now. And so I'm going with him, all right? But here are five ways that will improve your listening skills, okay? If you are, I don't want you to answer this, all right? Please don't raise your hand, all right? But I'm going to ask you, though, but don't raise your hand, all right? How many of you are having a hard time hearing God and His will for your life, all right? That's the question I want to ask you. And here's what you need to ask yourself if you're not understanding what God wants for you. If you're just hearing the preacher and you're hearing him say, you need to do this, this, and this, and you need to get more involved, and you need to do this, but you don't hear the voice of God in anything, you need to ask yourself these questions, all right? First of all, do I hear with devotion? But underneath that, these are some things that are going to help improve your listening skills. First of all, consideration. Consideration. That's God communicating to you. All right, well, what do I mean by that? God communicating to you. Well, this would be one of them, right here. God communicating to you. listening to sermons. How many of you have access to YouTube? I do. Okay, good. There's a lot of you. All the ones of you who raised your hand, you have no excuse to be able to, that you have no excuse to not listen to anything throughout the whole week. And there are sermons that have that are chock full of gold. And if you want to know a list of sermons, a list of preachers that I would encourage you to listen to, I will give them to you. All right? And they are just, there's a wealth of messages by these men. I'll give you a few. Rick Flanders, David Gibbs, Clarence Sexton, all right, Scott Polley. I'll give you these names later. Some of these men are coming to our church to preach. But this is one way that you can listen to God. This is another way. And I don't mean just reading your two chapters every day. I don't mean just reading your proverb every day. I'm talking about when you open up the Proverbs, when you look in the Bible and you start reading, you ask the Lord, Lord, would you show me where you want me, what you want me to hear? And stop me on that verse. And when God stops you on that verse, you had better stop reading and pay attention to that verse. I would write it down on a piece of paper. I would meditate on it throughout the day possibly. Or just think about it. Stop and think about what is it. Okay, it stands out to you. It means something to you. It speaks louder than the words that are on the page. You actually begin to hear more. Did you know that that's the voice of God talking to you and wanting to show you something? Did you know that when I was reading that verse right there in Proverbs 22:3, the 22nd, Proverbs 22, all right? I was reading my daily proverb, and the Lord said, I want you to stop on that word prudent, and I want you to look at it because you need it. And so I looked up the word prudent, and I started studying the word. I started looking up the word simple. Did you know I didn't even know that simple meant what it meant? And I'll tell you what, I was smitten by what simplicity actually meant in the Bible. I said, I don't want to be that. Do you know that you can be simple and nobody would ever know it? I'll talk about that a little bit later. But number two, all right, underneath this, do I hear with devotion? Here's another way that you can improve, all right? Listen to God. Pray to God. You know, ask Him, what do you want me to know from the Word? But number two, communion. All right, the first one was God communicating to you. But then number two, you communicating to God. That's communion. Start, you know, here's some ideas, folks, all right? In order for you to develop a decent prayer life, you need to find a time. Find a time that you can do it. You say, Brother Mike, I don't have any time. Then you're going to have to make it. There is nothing more important than prayer. Look, Jesus Christ, when he was looking out and he saw in the world, he saw all these people scattered as sheep having no shepherd. He didn't say, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, get out there and start witnessing. He didn't say that. He didn't say, give to missions. He didn't say, give your tithes and offerings. He didn't say, pray for your pastor to go soul winning and that he'll have power and all this stuff. But he did say that. But now listen to what he said. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray. Pray. You think prayer is important? Oh, yeah. Pray. Joshua's getting ready to take over the city of Jericho. And he goes, okay, God, what's the battle plan? Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in the Bible day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And Joshua says, I'm using my imagination, you know, as some of these preachers say, sanctified imagination, all right? Joshua says, okay, that's great. I'm ready to do it. What else? I want you to study the Bible. So you're telling me that we're going to win the battle if I study the Word and I know it inside and out? Absolutely, Joshua. Well, okay then. So he does it. And they win. And they win by God's help, all right? So communion. You communicating to God. And by the way, make time. David said, morning, noon, and night will I lift up my voice. He had a time. There was a time that he was going to do it. Hey, you know what? The Muslims have a time. If you ever go out to those places where it's dominantly Muslim, at certain times of the day, you'll all of a sudden hear that Muslim song. You know what that means? It's time to pray. They have a time. They have a time. We need to make a time. It's better to make a time than to have no time. Make sure that you make a time, but make sure you write some stuff down. Know what you're going to pray about. But that's the first thing. Use the list, but when God stops you on something in particular or lays something on your heart that isn't even on your list, you better go with that. Because prayer is not just monologue, it's dialogue. You're talking to God and He's talking to you at the same time. That's important. Number three, in improving your listening skills with God, counsel. That's the next thing. Counsel. God communicating to you, notice, through other believers filled with Him. What does that mean, Brother Mike? Well, again, going back to what I said earlier, listening to a sermon. Here's another one. You should think about doing this. When you pray, you say, Lord, what do I need counsel on? What do I need work on? What's something that I need counsel on that I should go to someone about? And let God begin to show you something that you need to get help with. There are some of you, I'm thankful for Aaron. Aaron will come to me. And I'm so not used to people asking me that sometimes I think that they're coming to test me or something. But the fact is that Aaron comes to me because he genuinely wants to understand. He's seeking counsel on what a certain verse means, and I'm able to give some what wisdom that I have. It could be God would use me. It could be that God will lay it on your heart to ask somebody else. And I'm not just talking about spiritual matters. I'm talking about knowing how to make a decision in your life. You know, if you have a question about auto mechanics and you're not sure, you know, Jonathan knows a little bit more than I do about it, and maybe God will lay it on your heart to talk to him. Somebody, there are people with wisdom. Pray, say, Lord, what do I need work on? I need to start listening to other people. I've been proud. I haven't been willing to listen to anybody. What do you want, Lord? What kind of counsel should I seek? Would you show me? Where do I need help? God will show you. Number four, compassion. Here's another one. This is another way to improve your listening skills. Well, man, what in the world does that mean? God communicating to others who are in the pits. And you can add this to that phrase. Through you. Through you. Did you know that the best things that you can say about people are when they're not there? You know, there's so many. It's such a common thing. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That does not necessarily mean just simply cussing. What it means is worthless talk. Something that doesn't build up. Using your mouth in any way but to edify the church. It's easy to talk. I've heard this. This is the one thing that I hear, and it's the biggest crock. And if it's true, I didn't even realize it. I've heard that people have come through here and they've said, I went and talked to Pastor Mike and he didn't say one word to me. You know, you could learn from that. When somebody says something negative about somebody outside of their presence, you can mark it down that they're not interested in anybody but their self. Amen. You can use corrupt communication by getting the dirt on somebody. Mm-hmm. You can use corrupt communication by giving people poor advice. Well, man, I'll tell you what, that you got a deadbeat husband. I'd ditch him if I were you. That's not edifying. God said, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Try to give counsel to save that marriage. You know, there are people on my prayer list. There are pastors who have deeply hurt me. But they're on my prayer list, and I pray, and I say, oh God, first of all, give me the love that you have for them. Number two, would you bless them? bless them. It's not just pastors. There's other people that have hurt me deeply. There are people that I have to look at often that have hurt me deeply, and they treat it like nothing's ever happened. And I don't pray judgment on them. I say, Lord, bless them. Help them. And give me a love for them. Help me to love them more. Do I do that all the time? No, there are some days I say, Lord, I just want to kill them. Yeah, there are times where I've said that, but I try to make it a habit. And so, here's the thing. Don't just encourage somebody when they're having a difficult time. There are some people, even in the pastor circle, where if things are going bad here, I hear from all sorts of pastors, brother, I want you to know I'm praying for you. But man, if God's blessing in this church, all I hear is crickets. You know why? Because they're jealous. It ought not to be that way amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, pastors and lay people. When you see that God blesses somebody else, say, oh Lord, thank you for blessing my brother. Oh Lord, thank you for blessing my sister in the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful. It hurts me when I see my boys fighting. I see my boys yelling at each other and pinching each other and beating each other up. And I know that's something that we laugh at. But it's something that hurts my heart. I look at them and I say, I wish you guys would learn to love each other. That's something I didn't learn. And I would give anything to have my brother Chris back home so that I could treat him better. It hurts me. And I want you to imagine if there's fighting amongst the church, how much it hurts the Father. Oh, I wish you would get along. I wish that I could bless you, but you guys keep fighting down there. Oh, I wish that I could do these things. You know what? Think about giving somebody a note of encouragement. Sometimes the Lord lays it on my heart to encourage somebody multiple times. I don't know why. But then there's some times where I just send a little text. Or sometimes I'll ask Marianne to help me make something. And you know what? God blesses through that. God blesses through that. Try to encourage somebody, and guess what? You'll hear the voice of God. You'll hear the voice of God. Number five, confession. Confession. I've got that as the last one. It's different from all the other ones. Notice what it says, removing the sound barriers that keep you from hearing God's voice. You know, I really have learned a lot with my communication with God. Whenever I'm talking to God, I've learned a lot watching, I've learned a lot being a parent. Because when my boys have somehow transgressed or trespassed or done something against me, have disobeyed me, it's much harder for them to receive my blessing because there's something that's between us and they need to get it right do I still give them food? Of course I do. Of course I do. I don't withhold those necessities, and neither does God. But there is nothing like when Judson did it the other day. He looked up at me. We were sitting at the table at dinner at this wedding, and Judson looked up at me. He's sick. He's got a fever. And he looks up at me with the sweetest little smile, and he said, I'm glad I'm with you, Daddy. I don't think that I didn't want to just give him everything. Hey, you know what? God is just listening. He's like, do any of you guys love me down there? And if one of you say, I love you, Lord. You know what? And I don't love you because you give me all this stuff. I had to bring myself to that this morning. I have to bring myself to that every morning. I don't love you because I'm hoping I'm going to get something from you. I love you because you're all that I need and I want to be with you all the time. But boy, when there's stuff in between, when there's things that we've done that hurt God, And you'll know, ask, and that's why I had you seek the Lord on the matter of if there's anything in between you and the Lord before we started this. I didn't mean for this to be as long as it is, and I'm gonna draw it to a close here. But just consider those things that I've told you. That you hear with devotion. Make sure that you hear with devotion. Make sure that you listen. And don't be in a hurry to leave. I hear zippers and all that other stuff. All right? Don't go right up against everything I just said. You might miss something again. All right? Are you listening with devotion? It's important. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. I really am not. I'm trying not to. I don't want to do that. But I do want to make sure that you don't miss out on what God wants from you. I want you to see him as a person. And I'll be honest with you. These are some of those messages that I just wish that I could just get through in one message. But are you listening? The next time we're going to learn about having a heart. Do I have the next question? Do I have a heart of disobedience? We'll look at that next time. Hopefully, we'll be able to finish it up next time. Do I have a heart of disobedience? You know, here's the first indicator of that. What kind of a question is that? If you automatically think you don't have a heart of disobedience, well, you're the first one. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You need to recognize that you are prone to wander. But that's for next time. I hope that you come tonight. Tonight I'm going to be talking about the difference between prudent and simple. Hold on to your sheets, all right? Don't lose your sheets. We're going to finish these sheets up next week, all right? Thank you again for coming. Amen. And just try to establish communion with the Lord. Look over these things. Hey, try to figure out the words to the rest of this thing. Meditate on the things that have been said. God will bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this time we can be together. Thank you, Father, for our young people and our adults. Thank you for those visiting. I'm trusting, Father, that someone would leave here having learned something, gathered something that they need. And we just pray that you would bless us, Father, as we go our separate ways today. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we ask all these things. Amen. All right.